Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to 1 Corinthians 15. In verse 57, the Word of God says, "Thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." God gives us the victory. The victory is our possession now. It does not say, "Thanks be to God, who will give us the victory." It says, "Thanks be to God, who currently, in the present tense, gives us." That means it is our possession. He has given it to us. Just like when you give something to someone, it becomes their possession. They don't have to figure it out. They don't have to earn it. They don't have to do anything to merit it. It becomes their personal possession. Your victory is your personal possession now. It will not be that in the future. You will keep it in the future, but you have it now. You will not lose it. Then, in Romans 8:37, the Word of God says that in everything, we are more than conquerors. We're not just conquerors, we are more than conquerors. That means that whatever has taken place, whatever it is that we need to overcome, we don't just overcome it, but we receive from it, and we become more than we were prior to whatever it was that had to be overcome. We are more than conquerors. We are increased from being conquerors to beyond conquerors. Again, this is in the present tense. It's not something that will take place in the future. It is something that is true right now. You are a conqueror. You are victorious. In Romans 8:32, God gives you freely all things currently right now. It doesn't say He will do it in the future. Wait for it. No, He says you have it right now. It is yours. It will remain with you in the future, but it is yours at present. We don't often think about it. We look at situations and we say, "I would like to be victorious. I would like to overcome. I would like to be a conqueror. I would like if God gave me these things." And the fact of the matter is, you already have them. The fact of the matter is, you're already victorious. The fact of the matter is, you're already a conqueror. The fact of the matter is, it's already yours right now, as we speak, this moment. It all belongs to you. In Ephesians 2:6, you are currently seated together with Christ in heavenly places because He has already raised you up to be in those heavenly places. You don't have to wait for it. You don't have to anticipate it. You don't have to hope or pray for it. It's yours now. You are a born-again believer. It is yours. You can't lose your salvation. It's yours, and everything that has to do with salvation is already yours. It became yours at the point of salvation. The moment the Holy Spirit entered into you, which was the moment that you made a decision toward Christ, everything became yours. You became victorious. You became more than a conqueror. With entering into a unity with Christ, God gave you all things. He seated you above in heavenly places, far above principalities and powers, far above your problems, far above your situations, far above people that trouble you, far above illness, above everything. God gave it to you. It is yours. You own it. You have it. It's accessible. It is your personal possession now. So, the question is, why do we lose? If I am victorious, why do I lose? If I am more than a conqueror, why do I lose? If God freely gives me all things, why do I lose? If I'm seated above in heavenly places, why do I lose? If I'm a winner, why do I lose? If I'm victorious, why do I struggle? If I'm a conqueror, why can't I overcome? If I'm seated above in heavenly places, why do I struggle? Why do I lose? The real question isn't why you lose, because you don't. The real question is, how do you maintain victory? So what I can say really is, in my experience, how do we win? I can accept the fact that this is my position. Let me ask you something. Does God ever seem distant to you? Does God seem like He's in heaven and you're here far away? You're not understanding the reality of it, if that's what you think. The reality of it is God lives inside of you and you live inside of God. You can't get any closer to God than have Him live inside of you. You can't be any more one with God than to actually be His body. You can't lose because God can't lose. You always win because God always wins. But we don't always have it as our experience. Well, I've got news for you. If your theology does not lead to experience, then there's a disconnect going on. There's some kind of a dissonance happening whereby that which is and that which is experienced are two separate things. Your experience does not dictate truth. It does not dictate reality. You must understand, if you are to understand how things work at all, that your experience is strictly nothing more than the product of your perceptions. Now, your perceptions may be right, or your perceptions may be wrong. In any case, your perceptions will dictate your experience, and you will swear it's so because it is your experience. If your perceptions are skewed such that they are perceptions outside of the mind of Christ, you will have experiences and you will swear that it is exactly the truth because it's your experience, but it's nothing more than the product of your perception. It's well documented that people will often see what they expect to see and not what is there. Why? It's their perception. People will sometimes hear not what is said, but what they think, not because it was stated, but because it's their perception. Yet they will swear. If they were in a court, they would swear on it. Even if it meant going to jail if they lied, they would swear on it that this is what they saw, this is what they heard, this is what happened, and it's strictly their perceptions. If you show 10 people the same thing, you're going to have 10 variations of what took place. If 10 people hear the same words, you're going to have 10 variations or interpretations of what was said. You show 10 people the same image, and 10 people will describe something different to you. It's all about your perceptions. Your perceptions are often based in your expectations or in things such as your subconscious or unconscious mind or in your predetermined concept. Reality is defined by the Word of God. If you're not experiencing the reality God defines, then the problem isn't what God said, and the problem is not with its veracity. The problem is with a disconnect between our thoughts and His words. Once His thoughts become my perceptions, and my experiences will be those which God has intended. How do we win? Well, if you want to know how to win, you have to understand why you lose. And the reason is because you do win. So your default situation is a winner. Your default position, do nothing and you win. Because God will make sure of it. That's already your possession. Do nothing and you overcome. Don't even have a response and everything is given to you. Yet people respond left and right. So why don't you win? Why do you lose? The reason is because in John 10:10, Satan is a thief. That's why you don't win. Because Satan is a thief. Let me ask you something. Answer this in the privacy of your own thoughts. Do not raise your hands. Do you believe that Satan is a thief? The Bible says he is. Satan is a thief. The Bible says he is a liar and the father of all lies. Do you believe that Satan is a liar? The Bible says he is. In other words, God says this individual, Satan, is a thief and a liar. How many of you trust him? And many people will say, oh, I wouldn't trust him. But that's not true. You would trust him, and very often we do trust him. And it is a mistake of enormous proportions. Never trust the devil. Never, ever trust the devil. But people do it. And that's why they lose. The fact of the matter is, in 1 John 5:18b, that the wicked one cannot touch you. And yet people think that they wrestle against Satan. He can't even touch you. How are you going to wrestle someone who can't touch you? The victory is already yours. He can't touch you. Satan cannot steal your victory. So he has to trick you into giving it away. Because he can't steal it from you. But he can call to you. And when he does so, he can deceive you. And when he deceives you, you give things away. And one of the things that people give away is their victory. One of the things that people give away is their contentment. Another thing people give away is their joy. They give away their peace. One of the strongest things that people give away is their emotions. Can you imagine giving Satan your emotions? People do. Another thing people give away is their self-image. Such and such says this, and therefore I feel like this. I'm like this. I must not have any worth. See, they're giving Satan their self-image, their identity. How many people give Satan their families without even realizing it? Because they refuse to respond to God in their families. How many people give away their lives? How many people give away everything because they trust the devil? It happens much more frequently than people realize. I'll tell you why it works. Satan takes advantage of a principle that God uses. But the fact that it's God's principle does not mean that Satan can't take advantage of it. He can. Because God had set up things to work a certain way. And Jesus told us how they work. The Bible tells us all throughout how things work. And one of the most important aspects of how things work, Jesus told us in Matthew 9:29. it says he touched their eyes, and then he said, according to your faith, be it unto you. He touches your eyes and says, according to your faith, be it unto you. This is how it works with God, but you know what? This is also how it works with the devil. The word eyes speaks of perception. He touches your perception, and according to your faith, be it unto you. God touches your perception with His Word, with the Holy Spirit. Satan can touch your perception also. And then he claims the verse after he touches your perception, and God must yield to it because it is His Word. According to your faith, it will be unto you. Satan doesn't own reality. He has no dominion over eternity, but you can yield your experiences. You cannot yield your position. So in your position, you will be more than victorious. You will go to heaven when you die. You will be a conqueror. You will be all of the things God said, but your experience can be taken from you if you give it away. And the first thing he does is he tries to touch your perceptions, so according to your faith, you will have experience. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1, the Word of God says that Satan is very subtle. That word subtle doesn't just mean like the English subtle. It does incorporate that meaning. He's very stealthy, very quiet. But it has a broader meaning than just that. It also means he's very crafty. He's very clever. He's insidious. And he's more subtle than any other creature God has created. He's more crafty, more insidious, more clever. Now, you don't have to be afraid of that, because greater is God that's in you than Satan in the world, but you want to be aware of what he's doing. And you want to be aware that he's clever and subtle and insidious. Then it says, he said to Eve, and I'm using the original language here to translate this. I'm not giving you the King James of it. The King James is not a clear translation of what he actually said. In the original language, the exact translation is, does it make any sense that you can eat of any tree in the garden, but not of the best tree? The thing about Satan's tree is we don't actually know that it was the best looking tree. Remember something, these types of things, how we interpret, is really, again, based on our perception. Why did Satan need to say to Eve, it's the best tree? Nothing about what God created in Genesis chapter 2 when he gave the prohibition against the tree said, this is the best looking tree, but don't eat of it. This is the nicest tree, this is the ripest fruit, whatever, don't eat of it. He didn't say anything like that. No, Satan is building a perception in Eve's mind. So he plants a thought, and today he still plants thoughts. And he said to Eve, Eve, does it make any sense? You can eat of any tree. Oh, by the way, that one that's prohibited, that's the best tree. You wouldn't happen to know that, Eve, because, well, I know that. You don't know that. But I know that. That's the best tree. And so she said, oh, that's the best tree. And that statement doesn't make any sense. He gets her to stop thinking with the Word of God and starts evaluating not just with her own natural perceptions and thinking, but with his initiation, utilizing the thoughts that he planted in her mind. You know, Satan does that today. He'll plant a thought in your mind. They don't like me there. I'm not as valuable. I'm not as smart. All kinds of thoughts. And then you accept the thoughts into your perception, and everything that you interpret on the basis of those thoughts agrees with your misperception. It's called circular reasoning. You know where else that's found? It's found in biology a lot. This is why the theory of evolution, which is the most ridiculous theory, is stupid. Well, I came from inorganic materials which came together over millions of years in the bottom of the ocean, somehow managing to avoid being covered in sand over millions of years. And they came together in such a way as to form intelligent information in the molecules. Man, that's more miraculous than God creating the heavens and the earth. They accept the premise. And the data points back to the premise. Well, of course it does. It points back to the premise because you've accepted it as the premise to evaluate the data. Of course it's going to reflect the premise. It's always going to reflect the premise. But you know, Christians do the same thing. We accept a thought that Satan plants into our mind, and that becomes our premise, and the data of our natural thinking, the data of sight, the data of our emotions, says to us, see, Satan's right. Your problem isn't what's taking place. Your problem is you've got the wrong premise. You've accepted something you should have rejected, and you've accepted it anyway, and its source was the devil. Satan planted this thought into Eve's mind. But there was a purpose for the thought. In Genesis 3:4, he continues, and the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat thereof, your eyes will be opened, and you will be as gods, knowing good from evil. And remember, gods is small g, he's talking about angels. Now, Eve had everything, not only that she needed, but that she could possibly desire. She wanted to be as the angels, yet she already was as the angels without being an angel. She could never be an angel. She was a human. She could not be an angel any more than an angel could become a human. But she wanted to be as the angels because she really regarded highly their perfection. Well, the problem with that regard of perfection was she already possessed it. She had perfection, but she had humanity. They had perfection, but they had angelness. But what she admired, she already possessed. But Satan planted another thought in her mind. He said, you don't have what God said you have. God says He made you perfect, but Eve, you could be like the angels. And Eve got to thinking, I'm not an angel. I'm a woman. They're angels. They're perfect. Hello, Eve. Humans were perfect too at that point. I want to be like the angels. So he took what she already had, told her she didn't have it, and she gave it away. And she did it by believing what the devil told her. And when she believed what the devil told her, it became her premise, and she didn't even realize it was her premise because she was still aware of what God had said. She just wasn't believing it anymore. Now she believed her enemy. A lot of people believe their enemy. People say to themselves, wow, look at this situation. I don't know that I'll ever get victory in this situation. I have this problem. I don't think I'll ever overcome this. Who do you think planted that thought when God said you already have the victory, you're already more than conquerors? Who do you think planted that thought that says God is not telling me the truth? You see, this is what Satan does. He takes what you have now, projects it into the future, and says you'll never attain it. He doesn't tell you you already have it. He says you will never attain this. You will never reach that victory. You will never overcome that problem. You will never be able to deal with the situation. You will never win. And he is lying. Of course you'll win. You've already won. But part of the lie is to project things in the future that you already possess. Imagine this, you're driving a really nice car. Brand new Lexus. You're driving down the road, and Satan says to you, you know, if you do what I tell you, if you trust me on this, just go with me on this, you can have a brand new Lexus. And you say, really? As you're already sitting in one, driving it down the road with the keys in your pocket. I could? Yeah, you could. And you give away what you have. All right, you can have what I have. Let me have what you have for me. He's a thief. The devil says to us, may I have your peace? And we give him our peace. May I have your joy? We give him our joy. May I have your victory? We give him our victory. And he walks out the door. I'll give you $10 for your peace of mind. He takes your peace of mind and he keeps his $10. You could have this if you don't do it God's way. Just give me God's way. And we give him God's way and he never gives us what he promised. The devil doesn't keep any promises. He can't make any. He says it, but he doesn't do it. Remember, he is a liar and a thief. And the way that he steals from you is he gets you to believe a lie. It doesn't matter what the lie is. He comes up with all kinds of lies. But he gets you to believe a lie. If the Word of God doesn't say it, it's not the truth. If the Word of God does say it, it is absolute reality. Sometimes people say, oh, I know this is what the Word of God says, but in reality, I know I'll never receive it. What are you, a fruitcake? What do you mean you'll never receive it? It's already yours. I know I'll never have peace. It's just the way I am. I'll never overcome my anxiety. You've already overcome your anxiety. You already have absolutely everything you need. Because God has already given it to you. But somewhere along the line, you've decided you're going to believe your enemy. You're going to believe the one who wants to utterly destroy you, rob from you all your eternal rewards, and kill you if he can. Oh, but I can see that he's right. I just feel it. Well, you're deceived. I know I'm not deceived because I know I'm right in this. I have the evidence. Look at it. Well, you're deceived and walking by sight. The ultimate form of deception. And when they do that, when Satan can lie to them, when Satan says, no, you won't be victorious, when the victory is already there, Satan says, no, you will not conquer, when they're already more than a conqueror, no, God will not provide for you, when he already has freely given you all things, already it's a done deal, it's already yours. When he says to you, you're already seated above in heavenly places, above all these problems, and you think to yourself, oh, I'll never get over this, then he lies to you so that he can get you to step out of what is already yours, and then it's his. And he steals it from you. And when he does that, you lose. The victory is yours, but you lose. Because you would not believe God, you believe the devil instead, and you don't have what God said, because according to your faith, be it unto you. Get with it. Wake up. Stop being self-oriented. Stop being asleep. Stop being self-indulgent. Get some guts. Get a backbone. Grow up and start believing God. It is that simple. But you can say it all you like, and people will hear it, and they will be energized in their emotions, and then 3 days later they're back in it. Because they don't mix faith. If you want to believe your enemy, you go right ahead. But I'm telling you right now, you're much better off believing God. Because the enemy's lying. And God says he is. Let God be true and every man a liar. So anybody out there who says, I know this is what God says, but this is reality that I'm experiencing, well, God calls you a liar. I wouldn't want to be called a liar by God. Satan places the thought that maybe what God said isn't entirely true. And then he takes what you have in the present and places it in the future. And then he tells you, you will not attain. And then he provides evidence. And you will agree with his evidence. And his evidence is, see how it feels? It feels like that, doesn't it? And you say, yes, it does. It does feel like that. It does feel like I'll never overcome my problem. See? God's not going to do it for you. You're just going to have to figure out a way to do it yourself. Liar! He's a liar! And a thief! Don't be a sucker and listen to the devil. He's a liar and a thief. And if you're doing it, stop it. I don't know how. Like heck you don't know how. Of course you know how. The Holy Spirit is living inside of you. You got the mind of Christ. You're telling me you don't know how? You take this sick head and faint heart, which has absolutely not one good thing in it, that cannot think anywhere near the thoughts of God, because the thoughts of God are about as far away from our thinking as eternity is away from us. As the edge of the universe is from the other edge of the universe. And you take that little sick head and faint heart and you start trying to analyze your situation and analyze people and analyze things you see and analyze things you hear. And you're walking by sight and you get so confused and so worked up. And all the time you are being robbed silly. Because you believe the devil. And the devil is laughing at you, saying, what a sucker. And don't think for a moment that the devil doesn't laugh. Well, what do I do about it? It's very simple. The Word of God says, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Philippians 4:13. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. This is the reality of the matter. If there is a situation, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. If there are people coming against you, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. If you are facing the impossible, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with God. The Word of God says in John 15:7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you will and it will be done for you. I don't know if God will do it for me. Well then apparently God's words aren't abiding in you if you don't know if God will do it for you. Get God's words abiding in you by Romans 10:17, having faith that comes by hearing, and then it will be done for you. It's simple as that. In other words, why don't you believe God? Because I haven't seen it happen. And that means what? Well, I haven't seen it happen. Oh, I see. You can see the end from the beginning, can you? Of course, God will answer your prayer. Of course, He'll be true to His promises. Of course, He will do as He says. Of course, He accepts you as you are. Of course, He loves you. Of course, you're precious to Him. Oh, if you knew, I don't think I am. I'm just not feeling it. Then stop being flaky. Of course He said those things. Why do you believe your enemy? Well, I just know it's true. Why? Because the devil has said it. And of course they don't think to themselves the devil has said it, but it takes only two brain cells to figure it out. I guess not everybody has two brain cells. So they believe their enemy. And God says, believe me. And the devil says, no, believe me. And God says, let God be true and every man a liar. The devil's lying to you because he's the father of all lies. And the purpose is to steal from you. Where God offers life that's super abundant, Satan offers death. Let me ask you, how many Christians have life that's super abundant? Can you honestly say that you have superabundant life? And I'll guarantee you the majority of the people listening to this will quietly say, well, no, I really can't. Then I'm going to tell you, you've been lied to by your enemy and you believed it. And he has stolen from you superabundant life because you believed it, the lie. Start believing the truth and lo and behold, before long, you're going to find out you're living in superabundant life because you've decided to believe the one who is the source of that superabundant life who tells you how to go about it. But that's not how I feel. Grow up. If you're 4, you can worry about how it feels. If you're 54, forget it. You see, we need to start taking God at His word, and we need to start taking God seriously, and we need to stop playing games. When God sent His Son to die on the cross, He was not playing games. When God created the heaven and the earth, He was not playing games. When God gave the promises, He was not playing games. When He put Adam and Eve into the garden, He wasn't playing games. When He kicked them out, He wasn't playing a game either. There's one thing God never does do, is play games. Don't play games with God. Because I'll tell you right now, God's not playing. God is absolutely serious. And your eternity does depend on it. Stop believing the devil. And the moment you do, you'll start experiencing your victory. See, according to your faith, be it unto you. Now, how does that work? You need to have your perception touched. The devil will touch your perception with a lie. God will touch your perception with His word, which in John 17:17 is truth. According to your faith, be it unto you. Your faith comes through your perceptions. Well, how do I get the right perceptions? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. Except that in Hebrews 4, if you don't mix faith with the words you receive from God, it's not going to be of any profit to you. In other words, it will do nothing for you. And remember, that picture is coffee and cream blended together. It's that kind of a closeness. It's that kind of a mixing. Once they are mixed, they cannot be separated. And the meaning of this is that you implicitly trust what God says. The moment that you hear it, you implicitly trust it with every fiber of your being. Your trust and God's word are not separable. And unless that's the case, It's not going to profit you. You can hear it, but it will do nothing for you. And then you're going to go to your emotions and say, see, Satan's right. There's the evidence. And God's going to say, okay, fine. According to your faith, be it unto you. And you get to have the fruit of what you've chosen. And if you've decided to choose what Satan is peddling, then Galatians chapter 5 tells you what the fruit will be. And I'll tell you, it ain't pretty. Now, you don't have to be stuck there. It really does take just a decision. You get some guy who claims he's an atheist all his life, and suddenly somebody puts a gun to his face and he's praying like you've never seen anybody pray before. Not an atheist anymore, is he? As he made a decision. Now, all of a sudden, he came to the end of his fleshly little self, to his proud little self saying, I don't need, I don't believe. And all of a sudden, he's got reality staring him in the face and the very strong potential of eternity in just a moment, and he starts to pray, because now he believes God. A second ago, he didn't, but now he does. It's just a decision, really honest. It's just a decision. And you choose to believe God, and you choose to not believe the devil, that little punk, and go to hell. Because that's exactly where he's going to go. And if the devil wants to talk to you, remind him he's going to fry like a pancake. Say, they don't love you. Devil, you're going to fry like a pancake. Biggest loser. Yep, you are the biggest loser. Imagine that, believing the biggest loser that has ever lived in all of eternity. Literally. The biggest loser. And he wants you to be a loser with him. Losers want company. You can see it all the time. You see it in schools all the time. Some kid doing something stupid trying to get other kids to do it with him. Loser wants you to lose with him. Why don't you just tell the truth? Get a t-shirt. I'm a loser. Come and join me. Well, here it is. You start believing the Word of God. You allow that to change your frame of reference, and all of a sudden your experiences start to be very different. All of a sudden your emotions start to agree with God and respond to Him rather than agreeing with the devil and responding to Him. All of a sudden your thinking produces results in your life called fruit. All of a sudden the victory that was so impossible to get seems so easy now. Why? Because you're living in reality and you realize you don't actually have to get the victory. The victory is already yours. And that's easy. Right thinking is a lot easier than wrong thinking. No, the flesh will not cling to right thinking because the flesh cleaves to the dust. But right thinking is a lot easier than the wrong thinking. Victory is a lot easier than loss. Being a conqueror is much easier than being a loser. And it all depends on your perceptions. What do you accept as the truth? Do you accept the lie and then receive evidence based on the emotions that are the result of the lie? Or walking by sight, which is the result of deception? Well, plenty of people do. Or do you accept the truth? Do you believe the Word of God? Do you accept what God says? Do you accept reality? And then have your emotions respond to that reality, not walking by sight, which produces absolutely nothing for you, but rather by faith, through which you can have all things? And you know what? It works. Sometimes we don't believe it works. I'll tell you, it works. I've seen it work. Many people have. All kinds of Christians have seen it work beautifully because they chose to believe God rather than believing their enemy. It works. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. The devil is looking to get you to believe him. And he's actively looking for anyone who will. And he loves it when Christians believe him. Don't believe the devil. Be sober. And by the way, that's just not clear thinking. That's only one meaning of that word. Really, the meaning that's brought out here is be of a calm and collected spirit, dispassionate, circumspect, and temperate, which means having self-control. What he's saying in a nutshell is take your emotions out of it. Because Satan is looking for you. Quite a strong connection, wouldn't you say? Take your emotions out of it because Satan is looking for you. And you know who he targets? The ones who leave their emotions in it. Because they give him something to target. Remember something. Iniquity, which is what caused Lucifer to be kicked out of heaven and thereby become Satan, iniquity is when I believe and live by my emotions rather than believing and living by what God says. That's iniquity. It's a form of rebellion, and rebellion is Satan worship. It's not that Satan worship is rebellion. Rebellion is Satan worship. That's how you worship Satan, is rebel against God's word. So the person who's saying, I know God's word says it, but I know I'll never experience it, they're actually living in Satan worship. So in your Bible, all you got to do is connect the dots. It's called line upon line and precept upon precept. Isaiah 28. And so to disbelieve God is to worship Satan. And that's iniquity. When you do it on the basis of your emotions and your natural interpretation by sight. If you're stuck in it, get out. You don't have to be there. Nobody has to be in the position where they give away their victory. Everyone can be an amazing winner, and it doesn't matter how long they've been giving away the victory for. They can win. All they need to do is start believing God rather than believing the devil. Because the victory is theirs. They own it already. They're already seated above in heavenly places in Christ. It's already yours. In 1 Corinthians 15:58, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of God. What is that? Faith response. How do I become unmovable? Well, in Psalm 119:165, great peace have they that love God's word, and nothing shall move them. That word offend there actually means to move. Nothing shall move them. Love God's word and nothing will move you. Love God's word and nothing will cause your emotions to go bad. Love God's word, you'll not make bad decisions. Love God's word, you won't have a bad self-image. Love God's word, you won't think the situation's too much for you. Love God's word, you won't think people are against you. Love God's word, you won't care if people are against you. Love God's word, and you'll know your way through the circumstances. Love God's word and you're totally protected. Nothing can move the person who loves God's word. Nothing. It can't offend you. Don't care what it is. It can't offend you. Don't care what it is. It can't make you insecure. Don't care what it is. It can't scare you. Don't care what it is. It can't affect your emotions negatively. Don't care what it is. It can't throw you for a loop. Don't care what it is. It can't sway you. Can't touch you. You love God's word, and nothing can affect you in a bad way. Nothing. The word there literally in Psalm 119:165 is nothing. Not one thing. Nothing. Because you love God's word. You love it, you go for it. You find it, you consume it. You consume it, it becomes a part of you. It gives you a nice, big, fat soul body. Just what you want. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Be unmovable, always abounding in faith responses. For as much as you know that your labor, that is to say, your faith response, is not in vain in the Lord. It's not without consequence. It's not empty. It does produce a result. It will produce the end that God intended. You pray, and you will receive. You want to be content? Love God's word. You want to receive answers? Love God's word. You want to see Him come through with His promises? Love God's word. You want to have joy in your life? Love God's word. You want to have all the things you're longing for? Because whatever they are, I'll tell you how you get them. You love God's word. If you love it, believe it. If you believe it, then according to your faith, be it unto you. And that's how you win. Amen? If you don't know that you're going to heaven when you die, if you would like to go to heaven when you die, and know without any question in your mind, based in the Word of God, He gave it to you as a gift, so simply thank Him for that gift. Pray in your heart, Lord Jesus, thank You for Your mercy. Thank You for dying on the cross for me. I accept Your gift. I accept Your mercy. Save my soul and take me to heaven when I die. Amen.